Paul, it's almost underneath our noses. This team's becoming a little difficult to play at home, isn't it? Or let me rephrase that. It's a team that's able to get a result at home.
Yeah, it is, Jeff, and that's the key. You know, going into last night, 19 of the remaining 32 were going to be at home. Now it's, 18 of 31. They got to make hay at home. In the year when they won the Atlantic Division, they were 30-11 at home and 17-24 on the road. You got to do your damage at home. This is already a decent road team. They're at 500. You look at the standings, there aren't a whole lot of teams that can say they're 500 on the road. Raptors can say that. They got to do their damage at home. And they've got some games coming up. I mean, you hate to play the schedule, and I think sometimes that's what teams get caught doing, get playing the record and the schedule instead of the opponent. They went through a stretch where they didn't do that, and they were just knocking off the teams that they should beat. And that's one of the things people always say, you look back at Pat Riley when he was coaching. Well, he never won the big games all the time. Well, no, you're right, he didn't. But the teams that he was supposed to beat, he beat them. And that's why his teams were good and always had developed kind of a workman-like attitude. And I think the Raptors are doing that now. They've had some slippage here and there, but it's key to make it home court a tough place to play. And I say this all the time, and our fans don't like to hear this. They give great support to the team.
Mm-hmm.
They're present. There are butts in seats. No matter how bad the team is, there are butts in seats. But they're present, but they don't always participate, and they're very reactive. Like, you go to Portland when the team is down 6 or 8, or hey, just go back and look at that Golden State game.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto's down. There was a shot that put the game from 21-18 after three quarters, and you'd think they tied the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the clock, and I said, Raptors up 18 after three quarters, and I had to do the math quickly in my head, like, they're going wild. Did I miss this? Is it really 8, not 18? And that's the one thing I think the crowd could do. They're great. They're always there. But I think they can be a little more inspiring at times as opposed to reactive. So Air Canada could be a tough place. And it is a tough place. It could be a tougher place, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
And one of the things I noticed last night, and I think this gets to the point, and maybe you guys, I'm sure guys like you and Eric are around the team a lot more than I am, probably tweak on to this. But I watched Tyler Hansbrough come in last night. And look, Kyle Lowry was great, but I don't think the Raptors win without Tyler Hansbrough coming in and giving them some pushback. But I want to say this. I'm watching that happen. I'm thinking, you know what? Jonas Valanciunas, who he looked really pissed off last night in the second half. Jonas Valanciunas, Chuck Hayes, Patrick Patterson, Tyler Hansbrough. There's some nasty guys there. Like, there's some pushback there.
Yeah, there is, and that's what you need. I mean, Dwayne Casey always talks about, physicality and being able to play that playoff style. And when they won in Dallas, they weren't your typical Western Conference shoot 'em up and run up and down type team. They had guys like, Deshaun Stevenson, who LeBron, I wouldn't say was afraid of, but was leery of.
Mm-hmm.
And because Stevenson didn't back down from him, and they had Tyson Chandler and guys that were willing to mix it up and guys with a little bit of grit and attitude, Jason Terry and Jason Kidd. And they weren't your typical Western Conference run up and down type team. And I think that's what Dwayne is looking for the Raptors, to develop that. They've got some of it. But they need to foster it and develop it a little bit more. And just because that's the way it goes in the playoffs, Jeff. You don't run up and down and, win games, 115 to 112 all the time. You're going to have to win games in the 80s. And you do that by being gritty and playing that tough defense.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Paul is, of course, the play-by-play voice of the Raptors on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Paul, what happened? I understand Patrick Patterson was taken out of the second unit last night and started, but the second unit was on the court when the Pelicans made that second quarter run. They were kind of on the court in the fourth quarter, although I think Dwayne Casey said, whoa, and put the starters back in as soon as he could. But the thing that concerned me about that is, look, Tyreek Evans is a terrific player when his head's screwed on, right? Mm-hmm. There's no mm-hmm. doubt about that. But I was so surprised. Like, the Raptors weren't beaten by anything fancy in the second quarter. I mean, it was just direct line to the basket, was dribble penetration. There was nothing, there was no magic to what the Pelicans were doing. And would that concern you you're Dwayne Casey?
It's huge, Jeff, because, I mean, good team defense starts with good individual defense and being able to, you know, they always use the line, you know, guard your yard and looking after your own man. That's where it starts for Toronto. I mean, you can't always be depending on help and rotations. And yeah, you scheme that way that if a guy gets beat, everybody knows what they're supposed to do. But it's like planning for a fire. You know what to do in case it happens, but you really don't want the fire. And that's, I think, the thing that's concerning for Dwayne Casey, that they don't have that. Well, it's inconsistent that being able to guard your man straight up and have minimal help and just look after your own business. And that's the thing that they're going to have to do come playoff time. And again, not that you're, you know, don't scheme for a guy getting beat, but in the playoffs, that's what happens. Teams are scouted so well. Everybody knows what you're going to do. And offensively, guys have to make plays, and that's what you prepare for. Well, when this guy makes a play, here's what we're going to do to try to counteract it. And they've got to be better. And dribble penetration, Jeff, as you said, breaks everything down. It forces you to help. It leads to mismatches where little guys are peeling back and trying to guard big guys. It leads to rebounding mismatches where little guy's peeling back and he's got to rotate and he's trying to box out a big guy. Dribble penetration breaks everything down, and I think that's the key for them going forward defensively. Got to contain that. Got to be better out on the perimeter. Lowry's pretty good. DeRozan and Ross need to be better at it more consistently.
Yeah, Ross, when I look at Ross's length, I sit there and I think that this is a guy who should be much. And look, he's made a lot of strides this year. I'm not gonna hammer in Terrence Ross, but there's still you could see that there's a defensive element of his game that could be so much better just because of his length.
Yeah, yeah, and he does it at times, Jeff. Like he did a decent job. He did a decent job last night on Eric Gordon. I thought he frustrated him, used his length, used his quickness. So he's capable. It's just a matter of doing it consistently. And I think DeMar can't get wrapped up into carrying the team offensively and forget about what's going on at the defensive end. You can't get into it's okay, you scored. Well, now it's my turn to score. You can't go back and forth like that. You've got to try and go at that guy on the offensive end, maybe put him in foul trouble, but then frustrate him, lock him down, make it difficult for him, make him a volume-type scorer, a guy that has to take a lot of shots and be inefficient to score at the other end.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Paul, are we at the stage now where when we talk about Kyle Lowry, all this discussion about his contract and what the Raptors may or may not do, are we at the stage now where we can pretty much just assume that the Raptors are going to let this play out and you know, cross the offseason, cross that bridge when we get to it?
Well, if you're a playoff team, why would you make a change to a major piece at this point, right?
Or commit to him.
Well, let him keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to, and that's what throws teams out of whack, Jeff, when, you've got a salary slot for him. I'm sure they have a number in mind. If it doesn't work, he's going to move on. If it does work, then everybody else can line up. It's when you go off the board or you get outside of that number that's going to work for you, or you're forced to go outside of it. That's when everything gets derailed. And again, with all due respect to Kyle Lowry, I think he's a terrific player. He's been playing well for them. You've got a number in mind for him, and you have to make sure that it works for you, for the team, not necessarily for him. And if he can get something more somewhere else, then away you go, and you take that number that you have, and you try to find somebody else that fits in. And a lot of people are, up in arms about this, re-sign. No, let it play out. Let it play out. I mean, the other guy that nobody's talking about in that vein is Dwayne Casey.
Mm-hmm.
His deal is up too.
Right.
But to their credit, both of them, we don't hear about it. There's no daily chirping in the media about extensions and money and free agency. They look after what you can now, and the rest of it will take care of itself. And I love the attitude they have right now, both of them.
Well, and you know what, Jonesy? It's a hell of a lot easier to do that when you're fighting for a playoff spot and when it looks like you're going to get at least one round of the playoffs. Well, it's a lot easier to block that out in some ways.
I did the numbers this morning, Jeff. I think at the current pace, 35 and 47 gets you eighth. So that's what, eight more wins?
Yeah.
And look, they're one game. I mean, regardless of what happens tomorrow night, they have 27 wins, and the most wins at the All-Star break for the team in club history is 29. So they're doing okay.
And beyond that as well, if you take a look at the strength of schedule, they've had the toughest schedule of any team in the East.
Oh yeah, they've got. I mean, there are two road games left against the West, I believe, in Minnesota and New Orleans. That's it. There are no trips longer than maybe two, three games.
They do not. I checked last night. Yeah. They don't have a three-game trip. They've got a couple of two-game trips.
Right. Well, 3 days. Sorry, I meant.
Sorry, three days. Right.
Away from home.
Yes.
It's 3 days. So,
yes.
They're looking good, but again, don't play the record. Don't play the schedule. Play the opponent and knock them off.